Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What is your name?
ESPN 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Trap, and Nick till 4 o'clock as the band is back together and we are ready to roll. Hopefully we're playing some tunes you like. At the same time, we're also getting some tweets that are interesting. Nestor Carmona wants to know, is it possible to keep Bouye if Cushing restructures? And I said, in my personal opinion, it's Jonathan Joseph if you're looking for money and or a restructure or means to find cash to try and keep him. But he's going to get money that you're not going to believe, or some of you are going to have a hard time believing, but he's going to get big dollars.
He's going to get big dollars, and he's not going to stay. Regardless, they're not going to be able to keep him. I mean, you can't – there's no possible way you can have a $100 million quarterback, even though he's not officially a $100 million quarterback. He's close to it. Mm-hmm. A $100 million defensive lineman and $100 million – I mean, he's not going to be – and even a $40 million corner. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they're going to – there's not enough money to go around. You know, so – I think it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep him here, but I want him to go wherever he can get paid the most. That's where I want him to go. Period.
Well, and that's, you know, that's spoken like the brotherhood of a player that wants to get a man paid, and I get that too. Joe, you want to talk about Texans Patriots, man? Welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey guys, how's it going? Love the show, man. Listen to y'all every day.
Appreciate that, Joe. What's up?
Just the question is with the defense. Do you think we could go in and prove ourselves this time, unlike the Thursday night game where we got shut out and we looked like trash?
But here's okay, appreciate the call, Joe. Here's the thing, Trap. People are wanting to reverse course and think that it's a different defense, right, since the first time they were there. But what they're leaving out is, offensively, the Patriots had Jacoby Brissett the last time you played them, and now you got an angry man on a mission that is bona fide Hall of Fame and maybe the greatest of all time when all is said and done.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there with you in a scope that says, bottom line is, the quicker I can pop these guys a couple times and get them out of here, the more rest we get leading into the AFC Championship game.
Agreed. And that's, like you said, it is a different defense.
Right.
But it's also an entirely different offense.
That's my point.
And I think... yeah, if those guys are playing well, I think you saw DJ Reader play excellent ball this week. I mean, DJ Reader got a sack in this game that, in my opinion, was poetry in motion the way he got this sack. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And I told him so after the game. I said, your move was one of the smartest things I've ever seen done by a defensive lineman, a young defensive lineman in a long time. And on the other hand, it was one of the dumbest things I've seen done by offensive tackle by Menelik Watson in the way he set him and everything else. Just, I mean, DJ Reed is 350 pounds.
Yep.
Like, why would you kick so hard and jump out there and then lose your hands and then get on one hand it was wonderful. On the other hand, looking at the offensive line play, it was absolutely atrocious. You know what I mean? To be fooled by, you know what I mean? To be fooled by 350.
Right.
You know, but if DJ Reader continues to play the way he's playing, and then you see Vince and the plays he's in, he's giving you a little bit more. He's starting to get a little bit more juice in his legs.
Let me tell you something. If there's a game he's going to have more juice,
this is going to be the game. Yeah, this is going to be the game. And when you see those guys, and you see the defensive ends, you see the defense, you see the linebackers. I mean, right now Cushing and 55 McKinney are playing phenomenal football in the middle right there right now.
That's why I said, if you had a healthy Simon, like a healthy Simon, flying around with those two guys at linebacker,
it'd be awesome. I think it'd be real. it's like this is going to be, regardless of how the season finishes, regardless of how the season finishes, they lose this game, they don't lose the game, or they lose in the AFC Championship next week or whatever, this will always be a what-if game. Because they're going to say, well, what if J.J. was all the way healthy?
Mm-hmm.
What if Simon was all the way healthy?
And Johnson.
What if Johnson? Yeah, what if J.J. Joe? What if all these guys that we're supposed to have were all healthy? But that's every NFL team.
Ifs, buts, candies, nuts, though. Yeah, you exactly. got to play with the team that got you
and
there.
And that's every NFL team. Every NFL team can say, man, what if, you know, the Texans still are what if in the, for Matt Schaub's year where T.J. Yates, if they would have had Matt Schaub, they probably would have won the title. You know, so
would have or could have?
I think they could have.
Okay. But I wouldn't say would have.
I think I'm more would have than could have.
Yeah. Really?
I'm more
could have than would have, but okay.
But
I'm done showing you love today. I'm gonna be combative the rest of the
show. Well, that's okay with
okay.
me, brother.
By the way, the opening line, +16 for the Texans. Ooh. Yikes. I don't expect to see that sit there the whole week.
That's an ass whooping.
But, man, +16 shows you the lack of respect the Texans are getting right off the bat
from
Vegas.
Well, I mean, they got shut out last game, didn't they?
Well, they laid the golden one.
Yeah. So, I think, and then that was with Jacoby Brissett, who hadn't even completed the passes. He probably played Florida, you know what I mean, 4 years ago.
Connor Cook, same thing, no big
but,
deal.
No, they are the same.
All right, we'll be interested to see that. By the way, Nick, the quote from Ben McAdoo out of the Big Apple just a few minutes ago. There's a hole in the wall at Lambeau Field. We take full responsibility. I take full responsibility. Come on, man. I mean, you can't keep covering for your players. Look, the bottom line is guys are emotional. Stuff's going to happen. It's not just in football. People tear up locker rooms in
all the time.
In baseball, they take bats to them. In basketball, guys just go nuts. When they get thrown out of a game, we heard about it with Boogie Cousins a couple weeks ago. He got thrown out. He said, I was just heading to the locker room to think of what I was going to rip up first. And they came back and said, they're rescinding one of the tees and I can come back. So then I was cool. Look, it happens in all sports.
But I just go ahead. Finish your thought.
So my thing is, why is this even such a big story? And why the hole wasn't even that big.
Why is it news? That's my biggest thing is, why is it news? Because
from everywhere.
Because first of all, it was the groundskeeper said, well, who was the groundskeeper? Well, just because.
Oh, who's the employee?
Oh, who's the employee? Like, come on, man. Like, we're going to have a full investigation. NFL investigation is going to investigate this and figure it out. And so what do you want them? You want them to go to Home Depot, buy the little, the spackle paste and paste up the hole again?
All they're going to do is get some guy that's a handyman and pay him a couple bucks and say, just go fix it.
It's a $20 hole.
It wasn't that big.
It's a $20 hole in the sheetrock.
Now, the bigger story is that I want to get, because I got Max. Max,
you talking about the boat trip?
Yeah, just what your feelings were on it, because you didn't get a chance to chime in. Mac had a problem with it. He didn't really like it.
But here, if they never would have took pictures, it would have been okay. The problem is they took pictures and put it on social media, and that's what ran with it. You'd be surprised at some of the stuff. All those teams that had bye weeks this week, what do you think they were doing this week? They were losing their rabid minds.
Oh, they got pictures of Bill Belichick and his wife falling asleep on a ferry out somewhere on the East Coast.
That's
so
what I'm saying. Like, everybody, so now you're going to say Bill Belichick's not ready because 14 days before. It's 7 days ago. The man still, they never missed a practice. They never missed a practice. They went out there. They didn't show up how they should have, but I think the weather, Green Bay is like no place else.
Of course. I've said that forever. I try to tell Nick that every week.
No matter how cold you think New York gets, no matter how cold, like, Green Bay is colder than Russia right now. Like that's saying
but
a lot.
But the key is in Green Bay, they can't break into an internet code. I just want to let you know. Okay.
But you know, but the same, like, they are, it's freezing cold out there.
Yes, sir.
And if you aren't used to it, nobody's used to it. You see what I'm saying? So I think
here's the thing. These are the two classic cases of social media, millennial kids, you know, and the combo platter that just, it got more legs than it ever needed. The hole is one thing, which is should not even be a story in the post-game scenario. And look, give Odell Beckham Jr. credit. He went to the podium and he talked.
He talked, took everybody's questions.
Took everybody's questions and said, if you want to have a side conversation, let me know.
And he answered everything intelligently.
Yep.
He said exactly what I thought he should have said.
He wasn't Cam Newton. He wasn't a little baby. He wasn't, you know, when the sun doesn't shine, he wasn't ready to beg and whine. He was all answering it. He was stepping up, and I liked everything he did.
And I think that, I think he was the thing I enjoyed the most was when he told the media, "Y'all made this problem. Y'all did a great job in creating distraction."
Because, I don't know if it went to the point of distraction, but
no,
I know that.
But
they
no,
can,
but it was a distraction. It was a distraction for the team because at the end of the day, all those guys had to go answer that question. What do you think about Odell on the boat? What do you think about Odell on the boat? What do you think about the receiving corps on the boat? What do you think about this person on the boat? You know what I mean? Everybody's talking about it. Me as a teammate, I don't care.
I think the one thing that he made a point of, too, was that was 6-7 days ago.
It was 7 days ago.
It's not going to affect how they play.
7 days before the game.
And they're all, you know, again, the cover of the New York papers this morning had the boat picture on the left and then had him dropping that ball on the right. The bottom line was that was not a perfectly thrown ball. That was a high ball that a guy like Beckham, who has huge hands, has proven he can catch the ball with one hand. People expect him to come up with the unexpected, but that wasn't an easily catchable ball.
Man, I don't have a problem with it. I have zero problem with the whole receiving corps going out there. Blow off a little bit of steam. Did y'all make it back on time? Yes. Were you alert at practice? Were you following? Yes. That's all that matters to me. Because I know for a fact, like when I was in San Diego, guys used to helicopter to the Laker games. Middle of the week. We play on Sunday.
Helicopter?
Helicopter to the Laker game.
Now, I know Kobe took a helicopter to every game.
The boys used a helicopter to the Laker game.
Wow. Helicopter, yeah, but you know, I was going to say, from an NBA perspective, look, Van Gundy even supported the one time the whole team went to Vegas on an off day. Yeah. I mean, it's just those are the kind of things that, look, whether you say it's the new millennial athlete, however you want to say it, but guess what? It happens more than you will ever know because they don't want you to know about it for this very reason.
Michael Jordan dropped $6 million a night before the flu game in Vegas.
That's why some people don't think it was the flu. But at the same time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Was in Vegas the night before the flu game.
But I think the key is, too, that then they expect you to step up and have a monster.
Have a Michael Jordan type game.
But not just do your job, but they're counting every drop. They're watching. They're in with a microscope.
To me, it's do your job. And, yeah, they struggled. They're a young team. You can't forget, this guy's only in his third year in the league.
I would say, for as much as you said they struggled, first half was theirs.
Yeah, it was always theirs.
They were dominant.
I mean, they were dominant. I mean, and Manning, Eli looked great. Eli was moving around the pocket. He was slinging the ball everywhere. In my opinion, I thought the first half they could have blown the Packers out, and it would have never been a game anymore. If they would have scored when they were supposed to score, it was never going to be a game in that second half.
Yeah, they eased up a lot when they got in the red zone. And look, I'm a Packer fan, but I was ready to take a beating here today because I thought the Giants were in the driver's seat, and the Packers really lucked out that they were able to hold them to field goals. But look, the bottom line is Odell Beckham Jr. didn't lose you that game. The Giants as a team lost that game, and they lost it at the end of the first half and then in the second half. And don't tell me about luck and a Hail Mary. It should never happen. You bat that ball down. We've seen it here in Houston in the Jacksonville game years ago. We've seen it happen now that Aaron Rodgers is supposedly Aaron Rodgers is the guy that's now the king of the Hail Marys. It doesn't matter. It happened. It shouldn't have happened. You shouldn't have let it happen. But the fact of the matter is, Green Bay moves on. The Giants go home, and now they're picking at things. They're looking at Odell Beckham Jr. What do you think? Let us know. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up for a call or a text message there, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Trap, and Nick till 4. Started talking Texans. Talked about your favorite announce teams. Would you pick a network announce team as is? I said I'd take Tirico if he was still at ESPN with Gruden. And then, of course, the sideline conversations got a little dicey. But, you know, who you pick and why is always interesting. Trap went a little old school and off the board. I was trying to keep it to NFL and trying to keep it to current. But, look, some of you like Summerall and Madden. That was a great announce team for a lot of years. You let us know what you think. And Nick, what do you think? I mean, you're kind of the new millennial type guy. Who are your guys?
Well, we had one caller chime in. Kevin Harlan, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Ian Eagle, big fan of Chris Collinsworth. I know that's not a popular decision, but I'm actually with Trey. And then Tracy Wolfson for the sideline reporting.
I'll tell you right now, shirah-rah.
The Collinsworth thing.
Collinsworth is terrible.
I think Tracy Wilson busts her rear end. I think she works hard.
Awful. Yeah. He is awful. All he does is take shots like he was a freaking all-world. He's an all-world receiver. Like, come on, Chris. Like, and he's a Gator, so I really hate him.
Well, there you go. But there's personal feelings, not aside. So let us know if you want to chime in on that, on who you would say is your dream team for your Texans. Say the Texans could pick any broadcast team. Doing NFL games, I'll try and keep some kind of parameters on it that could do the Texans game this weekend. Who would you have it be? I would say Tracy Wolfson's my sideline reporter, along with Tirico and Gruden. That would be the three that I would go to bat with. What say you? 713-780-ESPN. You can text us or call to that number, and or you can respond via Twitter. I'm at Pac-Man Joel. He's at TrapJ99, the man who made 99 famous. Before there was a JJ, there was a Trap J. And, of course, at No Hit Nick behind the glass. Before we get to that, though, Mike wants to chime in. He's got a question about OBJ. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up? What do you got going?
Hey, I just wanted to say I really appreciate you guys' perspective on that trip. Because since they're giving Beckham a hard time, I just want to know, were those DBs, when he threw that Hail Mary, were they on the boat? Because if they weren't, what happened then? And why are they picking on? Why aren't they picking on them? As for that hole in the wall, give me a break. You know, come on, that's a $10-15 job. And once again, exactly. You guys gave a great perspective, and I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys.
I appreciate it, man. That. Thanks for the call, Mike. Good call. Yeah, I mean, look. The bottom line is we've lived it. We've seen it. And it's not like the first time this has ever happened. The problem is now that we have social media, now that we have everybody that's a reporter in the waiting with a phone, everything's going to get blown out of proportion.
I'm just trying to figure out, how did that conversation go? Sal Powell goes, I seen your boy getting upset down the hall. And what the groundskeeper goes, yeah, but let me show you something. Let me whisper in your ear real fast. He put a hole in the wall over here. Like, how did that conversation go? And all of a sudden, Sal Powell was like, this is news. I got a report on it. Come on, man. You Sal Palantonio. It's got to be bigger stuff for you to think about and talk about than a hole in the wall.
Yeah, I mean, look. The bottom line is that they're grasping for things. I'm not sure if this went their way or not.
So is this called Punchgate?
It could be. Yeah, especially when people are making the memes now of putting the crying Jordan inside the hole. I did have some fun last night. I had El Jefe, who helped me out big time. But after the fishing boat picture, I asked if he could just, or the boat picture, I asked if he could just put a sign that said gone fishing and put the fishing poles like they do on TNT for the basketball games. And that got some run. That was good.
Yeah.
So we got a national championship game tonight, Mr. Florida State.
Yes, sir.
So the football weekend that won't stop, doesn't stop, doesn't have to stop, can't stop, won't stop. It's going to be a fun night.
Can't stop, won't stop.
What are your first glance looking at that game tonight? Because I said on Friday with Keenan and Nick, I think Clemson's not only in the game, I think Clemson's got a chance to win, and there's no doubt I'm pulling for them as well because I'm tired of the whole Alabama bandwagon thing, but I really would love to see Clemson win this thing because I think they're talented enough.
Oh, no question. You know what's funny is after the game the other day, I called Jimbo, man, and me and Jimbo sat on the phone and had a conversation. And, you know, I just asked him, who do you like in this game? And, you know, the way he broke it down for me was absolutely incredible. You know, I mean, I knew it would be because Jimbo's a smart dude. But, you know, I think last year, Alabama, they almost got beat by Deshaun Watson by himself. And I think with his legs and what he was able to do. But right now, when you look at this Alabama team, they're not as big as they normally are up front. They're actually more athletic now than they used to be. When you talk about their front seven is hard to block at Bama. When you're breaking it down, and not just that, I think that's what can control. I think they probably try to pass rush a little bit more this year. Last year, they kind of stood at the line of scrimmage and just kind of they didn't really spy him, but they kind of just kind of muddle rushed. You know what I mean? Like just push him back. I think they come out and try to pass rush for real this year. I think on the other side of the ball, when you look at it, is can your corners keep up with the Clemson receivers? Can your quarterback match play for play? You know, can Jalen Hurts, can he match play for play with Deshaun Watson? It's a lot that's going to go into this game. Me personally, I would love to see Clemson win this game just for the simple fact that it's the ACC, but I really want Bama to win the game just because next year Florida State opens the season up against Alabama, and I would love for us to be the first team in the last year or some change to beat them when we open up the season and kind of knock them off their high horse.
It'll be interesting to see. Nick, what are you thinking? I think, look, the key is Deshaun Watson, his legs, his ability to manage the offense, to keep them in their rhythm. But I think that, look, for as good as Alabama is and as deep as they are, I think that they've got a chance. And you can call me crazy, but I'm with Trap, but I really I think Clemson's got a shot, and I think athleticism-wise, they can match up with at least starters with them.
Yeah, I think I don't think it's going to be as close as everybody thinks. I still think I'm going to stick to my pick of like at least two scores or maybe a score and a field goal, a touchdown and a field goal. But I still think Nick Saban's going to be hard to beat. It would be great for FSU to get that win if they do win. But yeah, we do got a couple texts though on the Dream Team if you guys want it.
Sure, go ahead.
Dan Fouts and Iron Eagle are my dream broadcast. That is from the 832. Iron Eagle is actually underrated, man. I don't know what you guys think about Iron Eagle, but I think he's underrated.
He's kind of like in that Marv Albert school of broadcasting. You know,
he likes to bite on women.
I don't know about that. And I don't know what his preference is in undergarments. I just know that he kind of has that same delivery, the same kind of look, the same kind of starched upness from the entire Albert family. Because Kenny Albert, all the Alberts do broadcasting. There's three of them. But yeah, I mean, he's okay.
One from the 409, Pat Summerall, John Madden, and John Gruden. Anytime, any game.
There you go. I don't. They'd be fighting for oxygen in the booth there with Madden and Gruden. But that would be interesting.
We got Tirico too. John Gruden and Mike Tirico with Aaron Andrews on the sideline. So there you go on the text line.
All right. So there you go. So you guys keep chiming in. We'll keep throwing it out there to let people know what's on your mind. Brother Bear wants to know. Texans are the big underdog. Do you go into the game knowing you're going to lose and play not to lose or play not to get hurt? Come on, man. There's just, this is the playoffs. They're professionals, and that's, you know, they're going to go out and play their tails off.
This is not college. This is not high school. This is not middle school ball. There's nobody that goes out there not to lose, or there's nobody that goes out, to lose. There's nobody that goes out there, man, I can't get hurt. This is our job, man. This is all you know.
And you know what? I kept echoing what you said last week. The bottom line is, you can't win it unless you're in it.
Yeah.
And now not only are you in it, but like I kept saying to the people, look, stop criticizing Brock and all these things because he is who he is and you got him. So deal with it. But he got you a win.
He got you a win. You're two wins away from getting to the big game.
That's the key. So can you? Will you?
Can you win two? Can you win eight quarters? That's the question. Can you win eight quarters? Can you say, let's do it one quarter at a time. We win this quarter, we'll get better.
See, there you have it.
We win this quarter, we'll get better. Can we win this quarter? All you need to do is do it eight times. If somebody told you right now, eight times was the difference between you and greatness, could you do something? Can you do eight push-ups? Can you win that push-up day?
Yeah. You know, you go. So they're in it, and they got a shot. It's just, look, get behind them. And roll with them. And you know what? Let the dice fall where they may. Let the cards do the same thing. Who knows? You know, stranger things have happened. But again, the opening line in Vegas, you know, Texans getting 16 means that they're not getting the respect. But look, that could be the outside motivation that helps them too. We'll see. But the Texans got no choice. But they got to go to New England. They got to play the game. And that's why they play the game, Trap. And it's playoffs. And it's why they play the game. They play to win the game.
We play to win the game.
Period. End of story. So, that's what we got. Hey, we got national championship tonight. Trav and I are both looking to show Clemson a little love. Let's hope that's the case. What say you if you want to talk about that? We got plenty of other things to talk about. By the way, while everybody was watching football this weekend, the Rockets did it again. They swept a road trip and beat Toronto. Now they come home for Charlotte tomorrow night, and they keep on rolling. They still haven't lost 10 games yet. What are you saying about your Rockets? I think Eric Gordon should be an all-star. I think the organization should do more to promote it. I think you know James Harden's in. Why isn't Eric Gordon, too? He's having one hell of a season. Let me know what you think. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, and a steady dose of Nick Sciarra as we are at the halfway point, halftime as the clock has just hit zero, and we are getting ready for the second half, which means if you're in green and gold, you know that the best is yet to come. You're going to turn this bad boy around and take it to the house. If you're the red, white, and blue, not so much. But, hey, these things happen. You got a national championship game tonight. I think, Nick, we can get the final or the exact predictions later in the show. But I think safe to say, at least from a rooting interest standpoint, we'd like to see Clemson do well.
Yes.
You are just head to toe and everything in between Florida State today as you undo the sweatsuit top to show me that you have the Capital One Orange Bowl champion shirt from this year.
Oh, yeah. This was given to me on the field, you know.
Oh, not that you're name dropping or...
Not a name drop. I just...
Or just bragging.
Yeah, just
yeah.
A little humble brag. Not like Berman's humble brag when he pulled out that billfold the other day. About two grand worth of hundreds in it.
Who did?
You didn't see Chris Berman on the Nighttime Sports Center the other day?
No.
He was sitting on his big old wallet and he pulled it out and is decked out with a bunch of cash in it.
We got a gambling...
This Berman, he can do it, probably.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, and people are, depends on how you look at it, but he's basically been pushed out.
It's been years in the making. I remember, talking to some friends that work, in Bristol. And he says it was a matter of time. I mean, they were going to do it 3 years ago, I think, but they just needed some, I think they started to get newer faces, new younger faces.
Yeah, they're looking for a little, they're looking to turn it over to be younger. Which everybody goes through, and it's network TV, so it's going to be cutthroat. And look, they're going to do what they think is the right thing by trying to find some sort of a niche fit for him to stick around.
Yeah,
this is kind of like Dave Ward at 13. Look, they're going to keep you around for a while because they know you were a big part of the early. But look, the nickname thing ran its course. All of his highlight things ran its course.
Never run its course.
A lot of people are tired of it. This is where we deal with millennials.
Maybe those folks, but the people who know sports, I can't imagine listening to without.
There's a lot of people that were clamoring the other way, which I was a little bit surprised at the start with, but there's more and more of an uproar that people wanted to see new blood in there.
And what are new blood going to say?
It depends. Guys, everybody's got their gimmick,
But nobody sounds like he does when he does it.
Right. I mean, think about the catchphrases with the back, 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 and, the stuff that he created.
Now everybody steals it.
And everybody wanted a nickname when their highlights were on from a player's perspective, and everybody looked forward to hearing what the new nicknames were. But, and here's a guy, man, you can see it's taking its course on him because they did a really nice tribute in the studio on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And they let Charles Woodson, Randy Moss, Trent Dilfer, and everybody before they – even Sal Pal and whoever was chiming in from wherever, the first thing they did was, they gave their memories of Berman and boom. And it was a really, really nice tribute. But boy, when they did close-ups of him, man,
he's old.
I understand that. Yeah. But I mean, and he's got, but look, under his eyes, it's rough. But at the same time, look, he was ESPN.
He is. He's ESPN wouldn't be half the company it is without him.
But I'm saying for the first, I mean, yes, they had their other guys that came on with Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann and Stuart Scott and all the guys, and even the guys now that have created. But he paved the way. But when you thought ESPN, you thought Chris Berman.
You thought the boomer.
You thought
the great Swami.
Yeah. So they're going to keep him around, but he's not going to do NFL anymore. I think the writing was on the wall, like you say, because Tom Jackson was not brought back this year, and everybody's staple on the highlights was Boomer and Tommy.
Yeah,
and so when they made that change,
I think when Tom Jackson left, and I mean Tom Jackson's old too. I mean Tom Jackson played how long ago? But it's only a matter of time. They were going to phase him out. Like I said, 3 years ago, I remember where we were at the Super Bowl in might have been New Orleans, and I remember hearing the rumbling from the ESPN folks about Berman on the way out. So It's all good, man. I think I'm going to miss him as a fan, as somebody who grew up on SportsCenter, who grew up watching all his highlight tapes, who grew up, you know, being informed by him. You know, now you got to say who's gonna carry that mantle. I mean, I think you got the few guys, the Stan Verrett's. You know that, you know, he's a good dude. You know, you got.
I like Scott Van Pelt.
Scott Van Pelt he's one of a kind. I think you know, he's pretty solid. All those guys are solid, but there's never gonna be another Boomer or Tom Jack.
I agree with that. And look, you know, he's the last carryover with Bob Lee from the originals. So, and again, I encourage you, if you want a good read, but you got to really take some time, the making of ESPN, I call it the sports broadcasting Bible just of stories, but to see how that network was created and how many extra hours and all the work that was put in. And also, if you want some fun, go to YouTube and see the best of Chris Berman's bloopers, because he tears some people up now.
Yeah.
He ain't afraid to drop some cuss bombs and tear some people up.
Oh, no question.
But there are some good stories. But Boomer now off football, and that's something I wanted to cover too, because he'll be missed by a lot of people and not missed by some others. Like I said, in case you missed it before the break, while the Packers were beating the Giants last night and everybody was watching football, the Rockets did it again. The Rockets win again. They win in Toronto, a place that they've had a ton of problems trying to win at in the last few years. And because they win again, they are now firmly in the three spot, but they've got everybody within their sights. They're two back of San Antonio. So when you look at that and you see what they're doing, Travis Johnson, I've said, look, enjoy it for what it's worth. I'm not going to make any comments on how far they go in the playoffs till I see what their roster looks like. Mm-hmm. So I want to see, you know, that when the time after the trade deadline. But until the trade deadline, enjoy the hell out of this team and be damn happy that it's yours, that they're winning games, that they're together. You and I talked about it earlier. I think the big together moment for me wasn't even on the court in terms of how they were executing basketball-wise. Mm-hmm. It was that they all came to each other's aid in the Dallas thing.
Yeah.
And said, if you're going to the locker room after the game to try and start something, we're with you. If you're going to do it on the court, we got your back. When Dwight was in that same locker room, it was either on Team Dwight, Team James, there's a line in the sand, which side are you on? Even the guys themselves were trying to figure out whose side are you on. The coaching staff was driven crazy by it, and it divided the entire team, and it kept them from probably achieving their full potential.
Being successful.
Right. So it's definitely everything that you hear out of their mouths this year is they're on the same team, they're on the same page, they like each other, and it shows on the floor. But they're 30-9. 30-9.
That's big.
The only team with more wins in the entire league is Golden State, who's 32-6. So you're three back of the one seed in the West. San Antonio's 30-7. Same amount of wins, two more losses. So you're two back in the loss column to the Spurs. And you've got a whopping 5-game lead over the Clippers for the four spot. So you're doing everything that they could have asked and more in the regular season. And believe me, I'm the first one to say I was wrong.
Yeah.
I thought this team, as constructed, was going to fight for a bottom spot in the playoffs.
Race for eight.
Yeah, the pursuit of the eight spot. Yeah. But guess what? They're proving me wrong, and I'm happy they are. I love a lot of those guys in the locker room. I love those players. I just don't love the people above them. But at the same time, I can acknowledge talent and teamwork when I see it. That's why I think Eric Gordon should be in the All-Star game. He definitely should be a three-point competition guy, and I think they should have another one. Whether it be Trevor Ariza or Ryan Anderson or someone else, they got four in the top 10 in three-point shooting, and I think they need to be very well represented at this All-Star game, because they have proven in the first half, which is where they should be judged, that they are a team to be contend with,
yeah,
and that they've done everything and more than was expected of them.
No question.
So interesting to see. Schedule this week looks a little bit different, but still shouldn't be too dicey. They open up with Charlotte tomorrow night. The thing that really concerns me is they come home for Charlotte, and the big problem I have is that we just found out it was announced that Eric Gordon's questionable with a toe injury. That would be the first time that Eric Gordon has faced injury in a season in which we've said that him staying healthy is so big and vital to this team's success. But they got Charlotte Tuesday night, Wednesday another tough back-to-back at Minnesota, where they pulled out a game they probably should have lost the last time they visited there, and that's their last visit up north to see the Timberwolves. Then they come home Friday night from Memphis and the Chandler Parsons Project. And then Sunday starts Friday. Friday, they're home from Memphis. Sunday, Brooklyn. Tuesday, Miami on the road. So Brooklyn and Miami on the road after that. Interesting to see where they go. And then the greatest young team on the planet in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks, come calling on January the 18th with the Greek Freak and Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
So another tough stretch for the Rockets, but they keep rolling. What do you think about your home team, and where are you putting them now and later? Let me know. Hey, I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. My man Mac knows how to do it. I talked to him yesterday. He said it is just amazing the support he gets from the people of Houston, the people that know that he's been a staple in this community for years, that there's service after the sale. And as he always says, you buy today, you get it tonight. No back order slips. When you buy it and you want it, you get it, and there's no in between. He makes sure he takes care of his customers because at the end of the day, he wants you to be a return customer and a loyal customer of Gallery Furniture. That's why instead of just having the one spot on I-45 North, he's made sure there are three great quality locations for Gallery Furniture across the city of Houston. There's one on Grand Parkway on Highway 99, so between Katy and Sugarland. Perfect for the people out there on the where everything's sweeter, should I say, in Sugarland. Also, right in the heart of the Galleria, Westheimer and Post Oak, where you can stop in, make sure you get the same selection and service that you'd get on any of the other locations, even though it's a little smaller store. Service is still the same, and they can get it from any one of the three locations and have it at your door that evening. It's all because Gallery Furniture saves you money. And you know what else they do? They make sure it's made in America furniture, it's solid wood furniture, and it's quality. And it's quality that you're going to have in your house for a long period of time, so much so that you will actually make sure that it's passed on along in your family to other members because it's that good and it lasts that long. How do I know? I've got an entire house full of Gallery Furniture. I wouldn't go anywhere else because I know that Max sits at that front door to make sure that you know it's not just a figurehead on a commercial. It's a guy that's dedicated to making sure you get the right furniture at the right price with great customer service. It's Gallery Furniture, as Mac always says. No back order slips. Buy today. Get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
Hear Alabama, Clemson, college football's national championship game, 7 p.m. Monday on ESPN 97.5 and our sister station, SB Nation 1560. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Now, Joel, Travis, and Nick up until 4. That's when we decide to get the hell up out of here and shut the door. But until then, we are available and accessible and willing to talk sports and other things with you. We touched on a lot of topics already, including your red-hot Houston Rockets, 30-9. One more win to basically go parallel with the greatest start in Rockets history before losing 10 games to get to 31-9. They've had some good teams in the past, but I'm telling you what, I don't know how far this team goes. I just know that, like I've continued to say, it is an entertaining and fun team to watch, and you love it when a plan comes together. Now, that plan isn't credited to Daryl Morey.
I hear you, Hannibal.
Yeah. That plan, the owner got involved. He decided who he wanted. He's an offensive-minded guy. He thinks it's entertaining and sexy, and he put together a squad that no one could have expected this. No one knew exactly what they had. But what they have right now is a team that's competing in the top four of the Western Conference, which is still a hyper-competitive conference. And as we continue to say, look, it's not over yet. So watch out for Memphis and the Clippers when they get healthy. But I think they're firmly planted in the top five in the West. I think when all is said and done, they probably will have first home court advantage in the first round. What they do with it come postseason time, again, I'm not going to judge until I see who's on their roster. And Daryl's always a tinkerer, and he likes to try and make at least one move before the playoff rosters are set and the deadline passes. But I also know this year that the owner's going to have the final say. He's involved. And so he likes where this team is going, I'm sure, because of the record that they have. But I don't think they're anywhere near finished. And Daryl's always made at least one move. So it'll be interesting to see if they do anything else. But I like where they're going because of the fact they're winning games traditionally they would lose. On this road trip, they would have probably lost the game after the Oklahoma City game, which was a grind. You win by two. You go down to Florida the next night for an early tip against Orlando. That's one you got built-in excuses, and this team used to like built-in excuses. James Harden could have mailed it in and said, man, we gave it all we had in OKC at home against OKC, and we just couldn't get it.
We need a break.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like the Minnesota game, Nick, when we were talking about that. That was a game they were playing miserably bad. It was a tough night to get to Minnesota. It was a back-to-back, and they came back and found a way to win. I love the tenacity at which they play. The speed at which they play, how high-powered and potent the offense is. And I like the fact that they do stick together and say, hey, look, we're going to win together, lose together. We'll take our bumps, but we're going to try and find a way. And that's great.
Let's be honest. I mean, if it wasn't for that's the kind of play that you're going to get when you don't deal with the injuries and your star player is not coming in, 10, 15 pounds overweight prior to training camp.
So true.
And I think that really helps on the back-to-backs.
It obviously factors in.
I got a question. Mm-hmm. How much of this continuity sticks together if or stays like it is? How much of the continuity stays like it is if they start losing, drop a couple games?
Well, again, I want to see the mental toughness, and I want to see the wherewithal this team has, because it's a roller coaster. It's a long season, and I've said that. I want to see how they handled the Capella injury and the first injury that they took. And I never thought it was going to be Clint, but so far, so good, right? Yeah. They had the 10-game winning streak, and then even with Capella hurt, now they've won 8 in a row. So they've proven to be able to endure at least the first injury bug, and you hope it doesn't happen again. Now, you're right. For all the wins in a row, what happens if they string a couple losses in a row?
Yeah.
What happens if they drop one they shouldn't?
I mean, it's easy to be cool and have a great time when you win and when you've only lost 9 games.
I just tell you to look at 2 teams that have been there and done that as teams that you need to use as a reference point to where you are. Enjoy the regular season, because Golden State and Cleveland really aren't overly focused on too many things right now.
No.
They're just worried about being healthy and completely primed up and ready to go come playoff time. That's why LeBron's not trying to be the main man right now. He's trying to get Kyrie Irving ready for the postseason, so he's got another legitimate one go-to guy that can play side-by-side with him. You know, it's the same reason why the Golden State Warriors are saying, look, let's use the regular season not to win 72 games and trying to be the best of all time in the regular season, because guess what happens? Last time they did that, they didn't win it all.
Exactly.
And all that people remember is you didn't win it.
Does it take 2 or 3 seasons sometimes, Joel, for these star players to realize, hey, I can't do this on my own?
No, I don't think so. I think it takes, but I will say it could take the better of a year. And I give Golden State credit, because it really hasn't taken as long as I thought it might, because there is a feeling out process and kind of a chemistry thing. But I think the one thing a general manager would do is, if he saw that it wasn't working out, he wouldn't let it go more than the first part of a year. And he would just realize, well, I got to do something because this ain't working. And it would probably be complimentary pieces that would be shifted and moved, but I don't think you would have touched. Look, those guys have done one hell of a job adjusting to taking a little lesser role. If you look at the why Kevin Durant should, even though he's not in the MVP discussion, is efficiency. You look at the amount of shots he's getting per game, the amount he's making per game as opposed to any of his years previously, and the fact that he is so much more efficient, because he knows you got to share the rock. Steph's got to get his shots. Clay's got to get his. Draymond's got to get his. There's a reason why people are clamoring for Zsa Zsa Pachulia to be an all-star, because he's playing his role. And because of it, stats are backing him up. They're not monsters, but guess what? They're doing enough so that they're still the best record in the Western Conference. I literally thought they might be 3 or 4 for the first 2-3 months of the season while they figured it out. So they figured it out faster than I thought, but I don't think either team, being Cleveland and Golden State, are overly concerned about, sure, they want to make sure they have home court, but for the most part, they just need to be healthy and get it right come playoff time. That's why I think Cleveland already showed, I'd said this to you a month ago, they're not done. They had to get at least one piece.
Yeah.
Now, Kyle Korver's a good piece, and he might be the only one they get, but I think they're focused and they realize they still need another point guard. Kyrie's gotten dinged up in the past, but in the past, they've also been able to turn the reins over to Adela Vadova, even in short stints. Come playoff time, they don't have that. So I think Cleveland's still going to look for a point guard. I think Golden State may look for a little front court help or bench help, because we know their bench was lighter without Spates and Barbosa and guys like that.
I think that to me, I think Mo Spates, I think he's going to be missed when it comes to playoff
time. I think you're
time.
Right. And I think, remember now, he could make threes. He made threes against the Rockets in the playoffs. He came in off the bench, and he could score right away. Barbosa was a guy you knew you could trust. He wasn't going to turn it over. He was going to take care of the Rock. You got a bunch of young kids on their bench now. So I think if you're Golden State, you look to probably fortify your bench a little bit, maybe add a front court player. I think if you're Cleveland, you look at the point guard position and realize, hey, we might need one more resource, weapon, rotational player, whatever you want to call it, because you don't want to take any chances come playoffs. And if you can spell Kyrie and have a guy that you can, again, trust that you're not going to take too big of a step back with him on the bench, you do it. So those teams are still tinkering. The Rockets right now, hey, take it for what it's worth and love it. But then it's another discussion as to how far can this team go in the postseason. And again, we'll see what they do. And if they're looking to kick the tires on a big man, post player, someone that can help them. Some people, Calvin Watkins says they still might want to add a point guard. It's interesting to see that too. Beverly's starting, but he's not a point anymore. But he could be. But is he enough? We'll see what happens. Your Rockets are on the clock, but they continue to win games. Charlotte at the Big Sequoia tomorrow night. So that's on the docket as well. But again, national championship tonight. We've got playoff football in the rearview mirror that we can talk about, and also the playoffs matchups coming up for next week. as we can talk about those as well. We got two in the books and one more to go. We are ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.